So I want you to think about a moment when you perfectly understood a really complex concept.
Oh, yeah, like that sudden flash of total clarity.
Right. Exactly. Like maybe you were, I don't know, navigating some dense theoretical framework for work, or you suddenly grasped the syntax of a really difficult programming language.
Or even just making a split-second high-stakes decision that ended up being completely flawless.
Yeah, exactly. You just possess the final answer. But if someone actually asked you to map out the exact step-by-step cognitive pathway your brain took to get to that conclusion,
You couldn't do it.
right, you absolutely couldn't. The derivation, like the scratch paper of your mind, was just gone.
And I mean, we usually just write that off as a limitation of human memory.
No, we do, yeah.
We assume the brain is just aggressively pruning data to, save metabolic energy. But looking at the sources we're synthesizing for today's deep dive, that inability to retrace your steps might not be a cognitive limitation at all.
Which is wild.
It is. It actually appears to be a foundational rule of how physical reality operates.
So today we are pulling from a really fascinating stack of sources, mostly centering on a groundbreaking theoretical physics paper about something called skiss mathematics.
Which comes from the Swedish and Norwegian word for sketch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we're combining that paper with some recent models in epigenetic development. Our mission today is to explore a pretty staggering premise, which is that the universe actively and irreversibly erases its own history as a form of structural security.
It's a huge concept.
It really is. And specifically, we're going to analyze the mind-bending connection between chemical bonding logic and the critical mass limit where this mathematical erasure completely breaks down.
And I think the implications of that specific connection are just profound. Because by applying chemical valency to astrophysics, the authors of this paper basically recontextualize black holes entirely.
Right, they're not just like destructive monsters anymore.
No, not at all. Instead of viewing them as gravitational anomalies tearing space-time apart, the math suggests they're essentially incomplete chemical reactions.
I love that.
Yeah, they're basically isolated, highly reactive particles trapped in this suspended state, desperately trying to finish a mathematical operation.
Okay, so let's unpack this, because the distinction between the math we usually use to model the universe and this concept of skiss mathematics, it really hinges on traceability.
Right, traceability is the key.
Because in traditional curve mathematics, every function is deterministic. It's reversible. Like if an equation breaks down at a singularity, say, dividing by zero, the failure is mapped out.
You can see exactly where it went wrong.
Exactly. The initial conditions are mathematically preserved, so you can theoretically run the clock backward to see exactly where you started.
But skiss mathematics models a completely different physical reality. I mean, it describes systems where the final output is stable and perfectly recognizable, but the pathway leading to that output is irreversibly destroyed.
Destroyed. Not hidden, but literally gone.
Right, gone. In a skiss system, a singularity isn't a breakdown of the laws of physics. It's an active erasure point. The system deliberately deletes the trace of its own initial conditions once a stable state is achieved.
And the sources bring up human cognition as a primary example of this, right? Like a skiss-complete system.
Yeah.
They mention something called the Taylor token expansion model.
Yes, the Taylor token expansion. It provides a physical mechanism for that exact aha moment we were just talking about.
How does that work physically?
Well, when your brain is grappling with a new concept, it expends a ton of metabolic energy to navigate this abstract theory space. It's testing hypotheses, building neural pathways, basically accumulating structural entropy.
Just burning energy to figure it out.
Right. But once you reach the threshold where a concept is recognized as functionally true, the whole system collapses into a stable state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The brain retains the token of understanding, but the thermodynamic process of reaching that state physically overwrites the derivation pathway.
So the history of the thought is consumed to solidify the conclusion.
Exactly.
It feels very akin to a cryptographic hash function, you know?
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, like in computer science, you run an enormous data set through a hash algorithm, and it outputs this fixed length string of characters. You can verify the output is correct, but reverse engineering that output to find the original data, it's mathematically impossible.
The information is secured by the destruction of the pathway?
Exactly. But is it just an algorithm?
Well, that cryptographic analogy is great for capturing the unidirectional nature of it, but we have to distinguish between a computational algorithm and physical inevitability.
Right, because a hash function is made by a programmer.
Exactly. It's an arbitrary set of instructions. Skiss mathematics describes an organic physical process where the algorithm is time itself.
Time itself is the algorithm. That is wild.
Right. In normal curve mathematics, time is treated as a neutral symmetrical parameter. It's just an axis on a graph. But in SCISS models, the arrow of time functions as a literal erasure operator.
An erasure operator.
Yeah, it integrates the system forward by actively collapsing transient states and destroying the initial state vector.
Which brings us to the biological sources we're looking at today. Specifically, how this applies to DNA and epigenetics.
This part is fascinating.
Because we can sequence a human genome with incredible precision, right? But you cannot mathematically reverse engineer a fully developed adult back to their initial zygote state using only their DNA.
Because the genome is just the initial condition.
Right.
The pathway from zygote to adult is subjected to decades of epigenetic accumulation. I mean, environmental interactions trigger DNA methylation, histone modifications.
All these localized chemical changes.
Exactly. Changes that alter gene expression without changing the underlying sequence. Every virus you fight off, every stressor, every environmental factor adds a layer of structural entropy.
So time is using these interactions to erase the path.
Yes. Time, acting as the erasure operator, uses these environmental interactions to continually collapse the developmental possibilities into the singular reality of the adult form.
The thermodynamic noise of living just physically severs the causal chain back to the baseline genome.
That's a great way to put it.
But wait, I have to push back here. If time is constantly operating as an erasure mechanism, isn't that a violation of the conservation of information?
How do you mean?
Well, quantum mechanics strictly dictates that information cannot be destroyed. So why is this erasure being framed in the text as a universal security architecture?
Okay. So the paper argues that the information isn't destroyed in a way that violates quantum mechanics. It's scrambled.
Yeah.
It's mathematically decoupled from its origin.
Scrambled, not deleted.
Right. By making complex systems like biology and consciousness SCISS complete, the universe renders them fundamentally unhackable from first principles.
Unhackable. That's the security feature.
Yes. Think about it. If a biological system's entire history were perfectly traceable and reversible, any minor perturbation could be weaponized to unravel the entire organism.
Oh, man. So the erasure operator compartmentalizes reality.
Exactly. It secures the final output by ensuring the derivation can never be manipulated after the fact.
Okay, so that makes sense for biology. But the contrast between our own biology and a black hole really highlights the absolute limits of this erasure process.
It really does.
Because biological systems successfully erase their pathways because they exist below what the paper defines as the critical mass threshold, or M critical.
Right, the M critical limit.
When a system stays under that limit, the SCISS operation completes perfectly. But a black hole represents a system that has been supersized far beyond M critical.
The physical mechanism of time integrating a system forward requires a certain ratio of mass to environmental interaction.
And normal matter operates well within that tolerance.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But a black hole, it takes an enormous initial state vector, the collapsed core of a massive star, and attempts the exact same SCISS protocol.
It tries to do the math.
It tries to integrate forward to the singularity to perform the erasure.
Wait, so a black hole isn't a tear in space, but basically just a particle that got too fat to finish its math homework.
I mean, honestly, yes, the sheer density of the black hole breaks the mechanism.
Because of general relativity, right?
Exactly. General relativity tells us that as you approach the singularity, space-time curvature becomes infinite, and time dilation stops the clock entirely.
So the erasure operator just fails.
It completely fails. Time cannot integrate the system forward to a stable state if time itself ceases to function as a parameter.
Wow.
The system gets stuck. It's caught between quantum mechanics demanding that the information of the collapsed star be processed and the geometry of general relativity preventing the erasure from completing.
And that's the famous information paradox.
Yes. The SCISS framework's answer to the information paradox is that it is simply a delayed, incomplete operation.
Okay, so to understand why it gets stuck, we need to dive into the core focus of today's deep dive. Why does mass matter? What exactly is this critical mass limit made of?
This is where we analyze the connection between chemical bonding logic and the critical mass limit.
Because the text explicitly argues that M critical isn't just a measure of gravitational weight. Like, just getting heavier isn't what breaks the math. It's about chemical valency.
And that is probably the most radical departure from standard astrophysics in this whole paper.
Let's talk about valency.
So valency is the measure of an element's bonding capacity. It's how many electrons it can share or exchange to form stable molecules.
Right, basic chemistry.
But the authors apply this concept to information theory. They redefine critical mass not as kilograms, but as the total bonding capacity required to stabilize a system's entropy.
Okay, so a SCISS operation only completes if the system's total valency can be exactly saturated by available intermediate structures in the environment.
Yes, the structural catalysts.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. I try to picture it not as pounds on a scale, but like a massive bucket of Lego blocks.
Okay, I like that.
If you have millions of blocks, but absolutely no matching connectors, like no catalysts to link them together, the structure can't stabilize. Is that why the black hole fails? It lacks the chemical catalyst to finish the equation.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it. And the paper actually models this using a simple algebraic equation. X minus A times a minus B equals zero.
Okay, so X minus A times a minus B equals zero. Where does the catalyst fit into that?
When we look at that formula, the variable A acts as the intermediate physical structure.
So A is the connector Lego piece.
Exactly. In physical chemistry, A represents a transition state complex, a structural catalyst. When reacting components X and B interact, they require that intermediate state to lower the activation energy of the bond.
Okay, and once X and B successfully bond,
the system drops to a lower stable energy state. And crucially, the intermediate variable A is physically radiated away, often as heat or a photon.
Oh, and that radiation is the literal execution of the erasure operator.
You got it. The transient state is gone, leaving only the stable output.
So if I have an incredibly complex system, billions of components, a successful SCISS operation relies on having enough of those A variables.
Enough transient catalysts to bridge all the localized reactions and radiate away the entropy.
But a black hole is trapped behind an event horizon. It is completely isolated from the surrounding universe.
Right. It has a virtually infinite bonding capacity, but zero access to intermediate catalysts to resolve the equation.
It's just a huge pile of Legos in a sealed bag.
Exactly. And the authors actually classify systems into physical phases to explain this. Solid, liquid, and gas.
How does that map to SCISS math?
A completed SCISS operation, like an adult human or a stable planet, is a solid. The entropy is collapsed and the bonds are saturated.
What about a liquid?
A neutron star sits on the borderline. It's a liquid phase hovering right at the phase transition. It's dense, but still mathematically resolvable.
But the black hole is categorized as a gas phase.
Because its internal energy and mass isolate every quantum bit of information from every other bit.
So the scale itself prevents the catalyst from forming.
Yes. The sheer scale prevents any shared intermediate variable, any A, from forming across the event horizon. It possesses immense valency, but lacks the structural catalysts to complete the bonds.
So it's trapped in a perpetual state of raw, unconnected potential.
Exactly. And the paper introduces a really compelling framework to describe this trapped state. It models the black hole as a macroscopic molecular radical.
A molecular radical, like a free radical in chemistry.
Just like that. In chemistry, a free radical is an atom or molecule containing an unpaired electron in its outer valence shell.
And electrons hate being unpaired, right?
They do. They naturally seek to pair up to achieve a stable ground state. So radicals are highly unstable and intensely reactive. They will aggressively strip electrons from surrounding molecules to complete their valence shell.
Okay, so translating that to a macroscopic scale, the black hole's mass and trapped entropy function as an enormous unpaired information spin.
Yes. It possesses a massive net information charge that desperately needs to reach a ground state. But the event horizon acts as an impenetrable membrane,
separating this unpaired spin from the rest of the universe.
Right. It absorbs any matter that crosses its threshold, much like a highly reactive chemical radical. But those additions only increase its mass.
They don't give it the catalyst it needs.
Exactly. They do not resolve the underlying mathematical incompletion.
So, if a black hole is a massive molecular radical with an unpaired information spin, how does it ever resolve? We know from Stephen Hawking's work that black holes aren't eternal.
Right. They emit Hawking radiation.
Yeah. They slowly lose mass over trillions of years. So, how does this chemical framework change our understanding of what Hawking radiation actually is?
Well, it replaces the standard model of random thermal emission with a specific chemical mechanism. It's called spin lattice relaxation.
Spin lattice relaxation. What is that?
When a chemical radical is isolated, it can't immediately find a bonding partner. However, over time, it can interact with the surrounding lattice of its environment to slowly flip its spin state and release energy.
And for a black hole, that surrounding lattice is the quantum vacuum just outside the event horizon.
Exactly. The quantum vacuum isn't empty. It's constantly boiling with virtual particle-antiparticle pairs popping in and out of existence.
So the black hole's trapped information slowly couples with those vacuum fluctuations?
Yes. Through spin lattice relaxation, the black hole manages to flip an infinitesimally small fraction of its trapped spin, emitting a highly scrambled photon in the process.
And that photon is Hawking radiation.
That's Hawking radiation. It's not just random noise. It is the universe painstakingly attempting to pair with the black hole's isolated information to slowly, quantum by quantum, force the SCIS operation toward completion.
Wow. But the timeline for that process is almost unfathomable.
It really is.
I mean, the coupling strength between the black hole's internal mass and the quantum vacuum is so weak. For a supermassive black hole, the time to evaporate via this spin flip mechanism extends way beyond the current age of the universe.
Right.
They are essentially frozen radicals.
Frozen radicals. I like that. They are locked in a suspended state because the universe's erasure operator simply doesn't have the leverage to process them quickly.
So they just sit there in a deeply frozen matrix, relying entirely on quantum tunneling to slowly chip away at the critical mass.
But as the black hole evaporates, its mass does decrease.
And eventually, it must cross back under the M-critical threshold.
And this is where the paper makes a really concrete, testable prediction about the final moments of a black hole's life.
Because standard models suggest a black hole just quietly fizzles out, right, down to the Planck mass, and then it's gone.
Right. But if we follow the chemical bonding logic, the end of a radical's life isn't a slow fade.
Oh, what happens?
It is a discrete bonding event. When the black hole's mass shrinks enough to slip below the critical valency threshold, the mathematical blockade breaks.
The mass is finally low enough for the catalyst.
Yes. The very last fraction of unpaired information spin finally finds its intermediate catalyst. The variable A snaps into place.
And the equation X minus the times A minus B equals zero is finally solved.
Exactly. And when that chemical bond completes, the system instantly transitions from a gas phase to a solid state. All remaining mass energy is released simultaneously in a catastrophic recombination flash.
A recombination flash?
A discrete burst of high-energy gamma rays. The transition state is radiated away, the path is completely erased, and the universe finally deletes the scratch paper it has been holding on to for trillions of years.
That is just... it's a profound way to look at the mechanics of the cosmos.
It really connects everything together.
Yeah. I mean, we started with the neural pathways of human cognition, moved through the epigenetic layers protecting our DNA, and ended up at the event horizons of evaporating black holes.
And the underlying architecture is identical. The universe relies on the destruction of history to create stability.
The erasure of the pathway is what gives complex systems their integrity.
Absolutely.
And returning to where we began to you, listening to this, think about that moment of sudden, inexplicable understanding we talked about. This reframes how you should view your own cognition.
It really does.
The inability to trace the exact origins of your most profound insights, or the genesis of a creative leap. It isn't a flaw in your biology. You are utilizing the exact same SCIS mathematics that prevents a black hole from unraveling space-time.
The erasure of your cognitive pathways secures your final understanding.
Exactly. And on a deeper level, it's the physical mechanism that enables free will. Because the derivation is destroyed, the past cannot rigidly dictate your future. You're operating from a secure, stable present, untethered from a deterministic past.
Which actually leaves us with a lingering, almost unsettling question proposed at the very end of the research.
Oh, right. The ultimate origin.
Right. Because if every completed SCIS operation relies on a structural catalyst, an intermediate variable that allows the bonds to form before being entirely erased, we have to consider the origin of the whole system.
You mean the Big Bang?
Yeah, the Big Bang. We can trace the expansion of the universe back billions of years, but we always hit a singularity at time zero. The math breaks down.
But if the entire universe operates as a SCIS-complete system...
then the reason we cannot model the initial singularity isn't a failure of our telescopes or our physical models. It's because the Big Bang itself required a catalyst to initiate the expansion.
Oh, wow.
And just like the intermediate variable in our equation, that primordial catalyst was physically erased by the successful creation of the universe.
So we are living inside the recognizable output of an equation that was forced to incinerate its own initial conditions just to stabilize reality.
The ultimate missing scratch paper.
That is incredible. So keep that in mind as you go about your day. Trust the intuitive leaps and those sudden moments of clarity, even if you can't trace the exact steps that got you there. Because sometimes, possessing the final answer is simply the universe operating exactly as it was designed to. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.